So I want to talk to you today, and I want to say this. Just do me a favor like you do every week. Come into the preaching with an openness to the Word of God. How many would raise your hands and do that? Say, I'm going to do that. Okay, let me say one more thing. To be open to the Word of God many times means I'm going to challenge what you have previously thought. So this morning, in our prayer time, God spoke to us. How many know God can speak prophetically through people? How many believe that? It's all throughout the New Testament. But God spoke to us prophetically and he said, God wants to break through processes that he did not put in your mind. Thought processes that you have that aren't godly. And so here's all I want to say. I guarantee you, I'm probably in this sermon going to challenge some things the way you think or have thought in the past. All I want to say to you is pay attention to the words and the word that I'm going to use. Because I'm not going to tell you what I think, but I will show you what God clearly says in the Word of God. And take notes. You can go home. You can put it in. You can read the verses before, the verses after. I'm not taking anything out of context. I'm just teaching you the uncompromised Word. I recognize, as many people are here today, you know what? This will challenge some of your preconceived notions.
Come on, hit it.
Yes. So I say to you in advance, just, I would ask you to be open-minded in allowing the Word of God to change your mind.
Amen.
To allowing the Word of God to change your mind. How many would raise your hands and say, Pastor, I'm going to be open to that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How many would raise your hands and say, Pastor, I'm going to be open to that? Okay. Good, 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 good. I want to talk to you today about our God has more than you need. Exactly. I didn't say God has enough for you. I want to show you in the Word that we serve a God that has more than you need. Somebody say, more than I need.
More than I need.
More than I need. And this is so critical that you understand, because people... how many know? Well, let's go over some passages. Let me set up some foundation. James chapter 4, verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet. We're going to talk about covetousness, really important. And you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because what? You do not ask. All this is talking about this. Desire, you figuring this murder and covetousness, and you can't obtain, you fight and you war. Watch this. This is all about doing things in the flesh. Somebody say in the flesh, for you to establish what you want. And he's saying, guys, whoa. You're on the wrong track. You need to get off your ability and onto God's ability. All this stuff is this carnal way to try to obtain things. And it's in the flesh. And he says, no. In contrast, here's what you need to do. You do not have because you do not ask. See, all this is you trying to do it in your own ability. And he says, no. This asking is critical to you receiving. So he says, you have not because. How many know this is the Word of God?
Yeah.
You have not because. Listen, this is the Holy Spirit's narrative on what is taking place in the church. Don't get mad at me. I'm just teaching you the Word of God.
Amen.
It's his narrative to say, that's why there's something missing. And what's missing is, you are trying to get work all this yourself, and instead you ought to, in humility, ask me for it.
Amen.
Amen. Now watch this. Our understanding that God has more than enough is critical in us asking. Okay, so Isaac said yes. Let's say I come to church. I don't have my wallet. My wife comes. We're hungry. We haven't had breakfast. You know what? I want to go get something at Tommy's before we go home. And I don't have no money. I would realistically, he's a friend. I know he's probably got $20. I could go to Isaac and say, Isaac, can you lend me $20? I don't want to go all the way home and back. I'll give it to you on Wednesday. How many know I would do that? Okay. But how many imagine, did you see the little Isaac up here? Okay. How many saw him jumping and doing that thing? That was so cool. Okay. So how many know I would not ask? Can you imagine me going to Isaac Jr. and saying, hey, Isaac, wait, you got $20, dude? How many know I would never do that to Isaac Jr.? Now watch. Put your theological caps on. Why wouldn't I do that? What do you think Isaac Jr. is going to, you know what, get out a wad of cash and peel back the 50s until he gives me a 20? See, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I want you to understand. We need to understand that God has... Come on, somebody help preach this. More than enough. Somebody say more than enough. Okay. And when we don't understand it, it hinders in what God wants to do on this earth. How many know Jesus don't live here no more? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? And I understand theologically Jesus is in our hearts. I get that. I can't. Pastor, you're teaching. No, I get that. But how many know what I'm saying is right? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. He's interceding. He left. Somebody say he left. It's a good thing that I go. Because when I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. What's he doing right now? He's interceding for you. And so we've got to understand that we serve a God, that our God is a God of not enough or not a lack, but we serve a God of more than enough. Because until we understand that, listen, in a practice, someone look at your neighbor and say, you got to get practical. See, watch this. I don't know how many times there have been situations in my life, and I'm not doing this perfectly, but I'm doing it at a better pace than I've ever done it before. But I don't know how many times in my life and in your life, all I had to do is ask God, and he, who has more than enough, would have provided for me. Amen. Well, I don't think that'll happen. You know what I mean? I think, well, that's what you get for not reading your Bible. Or either reading it and not believing it, because the Bible says, guys, go to the back, stay on the scripture with me, because the Bible says, according to the Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible, the Holy Spirit says, you don't have because you don't ask.
That's right.
And many of us don't ask because we have a lack mentality that, you know what, really when it comes down to it, when the rubber meets the road, I'm not even going to ask because I don't really expect that would happen in my life. How many would raise your hands and confess that is true? Well, I want to break that wrong mindset. That is not accurate. And I'm watch this. And today, before you argue with me, today, pay attention to how many passages are going to teach you what I'm talking about. Mark chapter 10, verse 51 and 52. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man. Who said this? The blind man said to God, this guy's blind. Man, what's he say? Rabbi, that I might receive my sight. Look what happens. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Now, again, watch this. This is the narrative of the Holy Spirit. Can we allow the word to teach us? Or are we just going to stay with what we have, the traditions that we have, and not allow God to teach us? This is the narrative of the Holy Spirit. This is the narrative of the New Testament. And the New Testament, he says, the narrative of the Holy Spirit says, go your way, your faith has made you well. You can't get around that, folks. See, God is saying, he's saying, dude, way to go. I'm so glad that you just went for it and asked for a huge, big deal instead of, you know what, plan A instead of plan B. Just believed in me and my supernatural power to bless you. Amen. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. See, we've got to start to recognize that God, we serve a supernatural God who can do things that we can't do. But we've got to step out. He says, let me tell you why you're walking. Let me tell you why you're seeing right now. Because you were willing, what's faith? Just simply trusting God beyond what you can see. Beyond what you can understand. Beyond what your mind can comprehend. You're just willing to say, no, God, with you, I don't know how you're going to do this, but here's, you ask me what I want, here's what I want. And we serve a God that has the ability to do what doctors can't do. Amen. And when I mean doctors, I just mean whatever the deficit is in your life. For this guy, it was that, you know what, he, you know, no doctor he could go to would help him to see. They didn't have that technology. But he has a willingness to put his trust in God to believe for a miracle. And then James says, you have not because you what? You have not because you what? You think Satan didn't throw in his face? You know what? Well, that's too big to ask. Are you seeing this?
Yeah.
Look at John chapter. No. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Verse 2. And behold, a leper came worshiping him, saying, interesting. He came. Look what the Bible defines what he's doing. You know what it says? What's he saying? He's saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You know what? His willingness to say God has the ability. You know what God calls it? He calls it worship. Is that good? See, when you go to God and say, you know what? This seems impossible, but you know what? God, I know you've put it in my heart. I'm believing for this. You know what he calls that? He says, oh, you're worshiping me. If you are willing, I will make you clean. Look what Jesus says. Look what he says to him. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Number one, we must understand that God has more. Capital M, capital O, capital R, capital E. Has more than we need. Why? Why is that so important? Because until we understand that, because you're not going to ask Isaac Jr. for $20. See, there's so much, we put limitations on God, and we don't have to put limitations on God, because God is all powerful. We need to take the limitations off God and start asking for supernatural things in our life. I'll give you a chance to say amen again. We need to take the limitations off God, that we would start asking God for supernatural things in our life. Getting out of the, you know what, well, you know what, I can't, you know, if you can't, listen, that's what James was saying. You're trying to do all this on your own, but here's what you need to do. You just need to start asking God. Because you're coveting and murdering and figuring out and being manipulative and all this stuff and you know what, you're dating and you have no business dating right now. It's not even your season. You're dating somebody you should not even be dating. Why are you doing it? Well, because I'm 38 and you know what. I mean, God parted the Red Sea. He can bring you a prince. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
But if you would just humble out and start asking God to work in this area, you know what? Guess what? I mean, I talked to, you know what? Man, if I had a nickel for every woman that, every Christian woman that married the toad, I'd have a lot of nickels. Hallelujah. Why is this so important? Because people do not ask beyond what they think is possible. Because people don't ask beyond what they think is possible. John chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. John chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered up and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Well, what are you saying? God provides for every single person. And then after every single person is what? Full. Somebody say full.
Full.
After every single person is what?
Full.
Full. After every single person is full, what happens? There's more than enough. There's more than enough for them. There's more than enough for you. You know what? What is God's point? God's point, later on I'm going to show you to you. God did this in the feeding of the 5,000. God did this in feeding of the 4,000. He is providing. What's he doing that? One of the reasons he's doing it is to show you how his character is. That's the character of God. That's the God that we serve. We do not serve God, a God of lack. We do not serve God of just enough. We serve a God that there is surplus. After everyone's filled, there's more than enough.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm just telling you, that's who Jesus is. Number two, we must understand that God is not okay when we think he can't. We must understand that God is not okay when we think he can't. Numbers chapter 11. Let's start with verse 18. Can I teach this to you?
Yeah.
I said, can I teach this to you?
Yeah.
Come on, are you all awake?
Yeah.
Hey, what about you in the back? Are you awake in the back? Do I need to come back there and preach? No, I need to stand up here on a stage and say, hey, hello. Hello. Come on. Amen. He's not okay with us thinking that, you know what? Well, there's some things, but you know what? No, it's not okay with him. Watch this. Watch this. Numbers chapter 11, verse 18. Now you, shall say to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who shall give us meat to eat? For it is well, it was well with us in Egypt. Go to the next verse, but let me teach this for a minute. What's going on? The Israelites have been delivered with a mighty hand from all the plagues. They've been delivered from the strongest, most militaristic country up to that point. They've been provided for, and they're out there, and you know what they do? They start complaining. Now, this is a side note, but it's in the text, so I got to teach it to you. Complaining is about the worst thing that you could ever do. It's an insult to God, and he does not appreciate it. Listen to me. He does not appreciate your complaining, because your complaining is indication that you don't trust God and that you think he's not going to take care of you. And it's wrong, and he doesn't appreciate it. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat. Tell you what, you think I can? I'm going to give you some meat. And catch his attitude here. I mean, how many know sometimes God can have an attitude? I'm just saying, amen. Just weird. Let me read it to you. And you shall eat. Next verse. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days. I'm going to start to wrap this. Not 5 days, not 10 days, nor 20 days. But for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you. You have wept before him, saying, watch this, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? You know what he's ticked at? He is irritated with his people thinking that they were in a better position, more provided for in Egypt than what God wanted to do for them. Watch this. And God is equally irritated with us when we are trying to figure out it ourselves, because what we're saying to him is, God, you really can't take care of me, but I can take care of me better than you. That's what they were saying about the, you know what, God, you know what, you know, when we were in Egypt, Pharaoh was taking care of us, but you can't. And God is like, oh my, what is up with you? Can't take care. I'm going to give you some meat. I'm going to give it to you not one day. I'm going to give it to you not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, not 20 days. I'm going to give it to you a whole month. Am I making this up? Watch this. Next verse. Watch this. And Moses said, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat that they might eat for a whole month. Now watch this. Moses is like, hey God. Do you know how many men there are? That's what he's saying. He's questioning God's ability to provide for them. And when we have been put things in our heart and we in our mind reduce God to our ability, we do the same thing. And Moses said, the people who I will give them meat. This is what you said, that they might. Do you know how many people? 600,000 men. That's not including women and children. God, are you? He's questioning God's ability. Watch this. Watch this. Next verse. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered? And I was like, dude, I don't think so. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish in the sea be gathered together for them? You want to gather all the, you know how many people there are? You want to gather all the fish? And he's having this conversation with God. Now, listen, before you get in Moses' face, you might want to get in your face. Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? Next verse. And the Lord said to Moses, look at Moses' response to this. Look at the Lord's response to Moses. Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen or not. You know what he's saying? He said, Moses, you know what? First he says, you know, what do you think? My arm's too short to provide for my people? Obviously, he's being sarcastic. The answer is no. And second of all, he says, hey, Moses, I'm going to show it to you. Yeah. Pastor, what's your point? Look at your notes. You're going to know my point. Here's my point. We must understand that God is not okay when we think he can't. We've got to understand this is not okay for us to think that the things that God can't restore our marriage, that God can't get us out of debt, that God can't build the outdoor project completely paid for. We can't do that. My dad, I mean, he probably did this at least 100 times when I was growing up. But my dad would get on the ground, lay on the ground with his hands out like this, and it'd say, get on top of me. And I'd get on top of his chest, and with both my hands, I'd hold my dad down as much as I could. And then he'd say, are you ready? And I knew what was going to happen, because we did this all the time. And he'd say, are you ready? And I'd say, yeah, I'm ready. And he'd say, no, are you sure you're ready? And I'd say, I'm sure I'm ready. And then he'd count to three, and then he'd go, one, two, three, and then he'd go, And it picked me up and pull himself up. What is his point? His point was, son, I'm really, really, really strong. Watch this. And he did that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Why? You know why? Because he wanted me to know how strong he was. Yeah. Can I tell you what? God wants us to know how strong he is. Yes. And when the Israelites are doing what they're doing, he's not like, oh, this is no big deal. It's a big deal. How many know God is going to show them? God blows this wind, and guess what? They got quail coming out of their nostrils. Okay. If you read it, you know, a little further, there's quail, and they're just you know, 2 cubits high. They can just pick the quail all day long. And they're just all these quail are all around the camp. God is saying, Moses, I'm going to show it to you. Now, how many know God is not only showing this to Moses, God is not only showing this to the Israelites, but God is just showing this to us. Amen. Are you learning something?
Oh, yeah. Yes,
number three. We must understand why God is willing to give us more than we need. Oh, this is good. We must understand why God is willing to give us more than we need. Well, one of the reasons he's willing to give us what he needs is because he loves us. How many have kids? How many of you want to provide for your kids? Okay. So there's just this reality of, I love my kids, I want to provide for them. But how many know when you have an abundance, now when God gives you an abundance, now you can not only take care of your family, but you can take care of somebody else's family. Hello? See, we have business owners in the church, And praise God, they can take care of their family. But how many know they can also fund the kingdom of God? Can you say amen to this?
Amen.
Now listen to me. Listen, you say, yeah, that's good for the business. No. The funding of the kingdom is responsible. We're all responsible for the funding of the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'll give you another chance to say amen. We're all responsible for the funding of the kingdom.
Amen.
But we've got to get off of this mentality of, you know what, of I want God to just provide for me enough for me and mine. Because there's a whole bunch of people that need to come into the family of God. There's a bunch of people that need to see what God is doing in our lives. There's a bunch of people that need to drive by, you know what, on Jackson and go, trip out. What is that church doing now?
Yeah.
Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. One version says it like this. This is so good. Fear not, little flock, because your Father did delight to give you the reign. There's authority that we have on the earth that God says, no, listen, I want you to not act like you can't do something, but you can understand that I've given you authority. That's why Peter and John raised that guy up from his not being able to walk. Why? Because they understood the authority that they were being given. It's God's good pleasure to give you that authority. Are you learning something? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is just trusting in God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. How many know you have to believe that God exists? Watch this. But watch this. And. Everybody say and. He's not done. You can't just believe that God exists. According to Hebrews, you also must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen to me. This point is really important to God. That you understand. That God, let me tell you about God. God is a reaping and sowing God.
Amen.
And it's not okay that you just think, oh, you know what? No. You must believe that, the Bible says. Fourth point is this. Oh, no, I'm not done. Wait, am I done? No, I'm not done. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 32. please make note of this, because these are all scriptures in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen? This isn't some twisted, you know what, something. No, this is all New Testament direct for the believers. The saints, the believers who are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is for new covenant believers. Look what it says. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? First John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Look what it says. Now this is the confidence that we have. That if we ask anything according to his will, what does he do? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Are you catching the... Is this starting to seep in your mind that you... are a child of God, and your calling is to ask God to take care of your needs and that God would have a surplus that you can be a role model in that. And don't always go to finance. What about joy? You know what I mean? You're moping around all day. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to. Well, I love y'all. Shut up and do it. Amen. You know, sometimes. Amen. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. You know, sometimes our life is so awful because we just are complaining what we have to do. Just, you know, silencio, por favor, and get busy doing it. Amen. But don't just do it. Do it with the joy of the Lord, your strength. Amen. Make it, you know, there is a surplus of joy that God wants to give you that, you know what, when you were, it's like, you know what, and Georgie's like not all chip and cheery, but, you know, he hangs out at me. He's like, man, what am I bummed out? You know, pastor's making me happy today.
Amen.
Does that make sense? That's what I did at Albertsons. You know, going to Albertsons and, I, you know, well, who told you to get on the mic? Nobody told me. The mic was right there. Amen. I pick up the mic. I say, hey, man, I hope y'all having a good day today. But you know what is cool? You know what makes me all happy? Because I went down, you know, a check stand or aisle four and I saw Pepsi was 69 cents for a 2 liter. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Man, I don't know about you, but I'm picking up 4 2-liters before I go home. How many people in Albertsons is like, wow, oh, what aisle is that again? How many know I'm doing more than just informing them about Pepsi for 69 cents a 2 liter? How many know I'm doing more than that?
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, what? Yeah. What's going up with that? And I do that every once in a while, actually, then, you know, more and more and more. And one day I go in there, and I'm one of the head managers. You know, it says, you know, Drew intercom. I get on the intercom. He says, hey, can you do some of those goofy messages? I'm like, oh, yeah, it comes natural to me. It just. See, God is got more than enough for you. And we got to stop acting like he doesn't. God's got more than enough for us. Are you learning something today?
Yeah.
It is, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's my fourth point. We must understand our part in seeing his glory manifested on this earth. Our part in seeing his glory manifested on this earth. That's what I'm talking about. My example in Albertsons. We've gotta show what's going on. Because ultimately, you know what, they could think, well, Drew's just a goofball, but ultimately, as, you know, they started to know me, they understood, no, he's not just a goofball, he is filled with joy because Christ is in his life.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Number five, sometimes we can't figure it out. We don't have to figure it out. See, sometimes you just, watch this, all eyes up here. Sometimes you're just so, it's like you're a legend in your own mind. You know what I mean? Right? And it's like, I can't figure that out. I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. How many know? I don't got to figure it out. Amen? Do I have to figure out how all this steel is going to be over our heads and when the wind comes, it doesn't crush us all? Oh, Pastor, that outdoor project was awesome. But, you know, I was eating a taco the other day, and this steel thing fell on my head. I know. I'll have to figure that out. Amen? All I have to do is defer to smarter people than me to figure this out. You know what? When they're digging those holes this week, 6-7 feet deep, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, thank God somebody else figured this out. Amen. Because what I would have done, I would have dug them 2 feet. You know what I mean? I would have been out there with the shovel, you know, 2 feet. That's, you know, it's enough. That's deep enough. Amen. I mean, I don't have to figure this out. You don't have to figure all this out. You don't have to figure out, you know what? That's the problem. We get all gummed up. Listen, let God send you your fiance. Well, it just doesn't make sense. You know what? I can barely survive on 100%. I'm already broke, Pastor. You sit up there and I ain't give 10%. Everybody's got to give 10%. That's your part. That don't make no sense. Oh, yeah. This isn't good English, but it's good theology. It don't, but it do. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. It don't, but it do. It doesn't make any sense. But how many know trusting God makes more sense than you figuring it out yourself? And you've got on to that, you know what, I'm going to figure it out. Stop it. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to be obedient to what God is asking you to do. It's all you have to do. Amen. How many learning what I'm saying? See, God is not a God. Stop thinking. Stop figuring out. Stop not trusting God. Stop thinking that God's hand is too short. That's what he says. Moses, is my hand too short? He's being sarcastic to Moses. Of course not. Tell you what, I'm going to give them some meat. And while I'm giving you meat, I'm going to show you what an awesome God I am. Are you learning something today? We're believing for these chairs. $400 come in. And this is $400 in the first week. This $400, hey, we got to give a chair. Hey, let's have a chair. Let's have a chair. You know what I mean? Whatever. It was probably 2 months. $400 comes in. I mean, these chairs are nice chairs. You know what? At $400, you know what? They're about $60 a chair. Somebody smart, tell me, how many chairs am I going to get? Six, thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Y'all can sit down. Everybody else, get up. See, I'm just saying, how are you going to look? How many know we're sitting in these chairs? See, how are you going to look at life? Some people look at $400 and they say, hey, that'll never work. You know, why not you stay? Hey, this is a good start. I got six people sitting down. Amen. And watch this. And the avenue that we had in that God opened us to buying all these chairs also bought the church fan. Can you say amen? Also put a new roof on the North Sanctuary. Can you say amen? Also donated $15,000 to the South Sanctuary. And also has given, I don't know, about $20,000 for the outdoor project. Can you say amen? See, right? I don't get, you know, you're sitting in one of these chairs, you know what, and you're so busy. Watch this. We're so busy looking at what God hasn't done that we should look at what God, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Say, thank God for what he's already done. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Yeah. See, God has done so much for us. And yet we are going to allow Satan to talk us out that God has got a short hand. God doesn't have a short hand. How many encouraged today? This is the word of God. This is the God that we serve. This is our God. You know, and we understand it in worship, do we not? Our God is greater. Our God is, somebody help me out. Stronger. I'm gonna die than any other. Awesome in power. Help me out. Our God. Oh, we get it in worship. Hey, can we get it when we go outside? Amen. Yeah. Can we get it in our marriages? Can we get it in our lives? Can we get it in our joy? Can we understand that we can ask God, and God is able not to give us what we need, but more than what we need. Yeah, you didn't know I sang that song so good, did you? You say, Pastor, listen, I want to be real clear. I'm not talking about being greedy. Paul says, if you have food and clothing, be content. Paul says, you know what? There are all kind of people, and they're going to fall into sin because They are seeking money. And it's in that context that he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Listen to me. Listen to me real carefully. Because you preach this kind of sermon and you get misunderstood, and a bunch of people are going to tell you that this is unbiblical. It's not unbiblical. This is absolutely biblical. We serve a God that has more than enough and is willing and wants you just to ask him for all kinds of things in your life. That's the God we serve, and it's absolutely biblical. Having said that, we need to make sure we're not covetous. We're not covetous. We're not, listen, I need to be content. Let me give you an example. I'm content with all y'all here in the first service. And I'm content with all the people that are going to come to the second service and all the people that are going to come to Esperanza. I'm totally content. I love you guys. It's a privilege for Tamara and I to pastor you guys. I really, really love you. It's like, I'm not like, oh, man, you know what? There's only going to be 350 people show up this weekend. You know what? And that pastor's got 5,000 people, and I only got 350. No, no, no. Side note, his 5,000. Don't compare nothing to my 350. But. But that's just between me and you, okay? Anyway. What I'm saying, I can be content with 350 and recognize our calling to minister to thousands. Does that make sense? And I need to make sure I don't fall into this contentment that I become unsatisfied and jealous and all this junk. All right. I got to show you one more passage. Can I show you one more passage? It's like Mark chapter 8. Guys in the back, find it for me. Mark chapter 8. Now look at verse 15. Do you know when God fed the 5,000, he had surplus? There were baskets that were collected. Do you know when God fed the 4,000, there was surplus? Both times. Coincidence? No, not coincidence. God is trying to show those people and you something. Go back to, I said 15, go to 13. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departing to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. The disciples have bread? No, they had a slew load of bread. If you read earlier, they had just collected basket after basket after basket of bread. They had a lot of bread. Look what it says. What did they do? They forgot. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Doesn't say they didn't have bread. They just forgot to take the bread that they had. And they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. They're like, hey Joe, you left a loaf in the back, didn't you? Yeah, there's one. It's, you know, kind of getting moldy, but we got one. Then he charged them, saying, this is Jesus, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reason among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? He starts talking about leaven. They're like, oh, is it because we forgot the bread? Watch this. And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because we have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Jesus has just multiplied with surplus. Just did it. And he had already done it. He did it with the 4,000. He had already done it with the 5,000. These apostles had seen it all. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still what? Okay, we're going to pick up there in a minute, but listen to me. When we start to doubt God's ability and we don't even ask God, you know what? You know what's going on there? It's a hard heart. It's a hard heart. No, you just think God is gonna, Christians, these pseudo theologians, begging on people for saying God provides for us. Read your Bible. God provides for his people. He always has, he always does. That doesn't mean that we're greedy. It doesn't mean we're selfish, but God has always provided for the people. And God says, when you start doubting that, let me tell you what's really going on in your heart. Your heart is becoming hard. Yeah. Having eyes, do you not see? Guys, did you see my heart for you? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Remember what? Remember the God that gave you enough and more than enough. Did you remember that? That's what he's saying to the apostles. When I broke the loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets of fragments did you take up? They said 12. Also, when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you have up? And they said 7. So he said to them, How is it you do not understand? Here, let me ask this group. How many of us, God has taken care of you supernatural over and over in all kinds of ways? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay, let me ask this section. How many of you has God taken care of supernaturally where it seemed like there was no way God provided a way for you? Raise your hand. I'm asking over this. You know what? How many of God has provided over and over and over again, supernaturally? I'm asking, raise your hand if that's you. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what God is saying to them, and here's what God is saying to us. You know what? How can we see and not understand? No, let me tell you about God, my first point. God is not God of enough. God is God that is more than enough. When Chanel would stand up and we were believing just for some benches, some concrete, some light posts, all that cost $10,000. How many know stuff is expensive? We just wanted a place for people to sit down and go, wow. I mean, we had grass. Nobody can sit down, amen? Unless you want to climb a tree and sit in a tree. So we said, hey, let's make a whole park. And the bill was a little over $10,000. And I sat there in the front row with my wife thinking, you know what? We're never going to raise $10,000. That's what I thought. And Chanel would stand up in an air and say, you know what? Hey, we got this. And I saw the thermometer go from $1,000 to $2,000 to $3,000 to $5,000 to $10,000. But then God asked us to come over here, and it was going to cost about $120,000. By the time we got done, about $70,000. $170,000. Here's what I want to say. How is it that I had faith to believe for $170,000, but I didn't have faith to believe for $10,000? I started to see the God that I served. I started to see a God that wasn't a God of enough, but God was God of more than enough. So we went down and they drew up these plans, and we spent time. We said, no, 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 no. Then they said, what about this? And we were, Tamara and I and Brian and his wife and Auntie Norma and Pastor Vegas, our eyes got all big, you know what? And Ed and Rebecca, our eyes got all big, and we're like, yeah! And then they said, oh, we'll make a little calculation. How much this is going to cost? And they said, oh, this is going to cost about $350,000. They said, here's what we could do, but we could make it a little smaller. This is a true story. And here's what the head architect said. He said, Pastor, I could take you to this back room and I could show you plan after plan after plan after plan after plan that those churches never executed what they planned. And so they said, maybe it would be better to scale it back in a smaller scope. And so they scaled it back to a smaller one, and then a medium one, and then the one that we had originally planned. And we decided, you know, keep your judgments to yourself for a minute. And we had decided, well, that's probably smart. We're going to do the medium one. And then I got home, and the Holy Spirit kept on speaking to me and saying, go ahead, put the new one up. And the Holy Spirit kept on speaking to me and saying, you know what? No, you don't want the medium one. Because you're going to go out there and you're going to look, and every single time you look out there, you're going to go, man, I wish it was 5 foot wider on this side and 5 foot wider on this side and 10 foot deeper like this. You know what? And all that's going to represent is your lack of understanding that I am the God that will provide for you more than enough. When I grew up, you say, Pastor, but I've, listen, many of us grew up this way. I didn't even recognize how poor I was till I started preaching this. And I was, oh my goodness. You know why every week we had these lousy pot pies. I'm not talking about good, you know, I didn't even know. I didn't even know I liked pot pies. You know, I'd go to Marie Callender's all the time. You know what? My wife would order a pot pie. She'd, oh, these are delicious. I don't want no pot pie. You know what I mean? Then one time, I don't know, I was crazy one day, and I ordered a pot pie. I'm eating a Marie Callender's pot pies. I'm like, man, these are good. Why didn't I know that? Because when I grew up, you know what? My mom would go to the grocery store, and for 23 cents, she would be able to buy these lousy Swanson pot pies. And I would go to the dinner table, and my mom would go, oh, it's pot pies. I was like, I hate this. God, this is a true story. I think, oh man, I'm gonna be hungry. I'm gonna go to bed hungry. So, oh, I'm just saying what is. You could eat 8 of those things and still be hungry. I'd eat one and be not only hungry still, but like, yuck, I couldn't even eat 2 if I wanted to. And then we had this thing every once a week. We had this meat. It was called round steak. What's round steak? Let me tell you what round steak is. Round steak is steak that you ought to throw it around the dogs. That's what you throw it around the dogs. True story. And my mom, she used to get this thing. She used to, what do you do with round steak? You just beat the tar out of it. Amen. I think there, yeah, it was called a tenderizer. My mom's tender. When she's in their kitchen, what are you doing? I'm tenderizing the round steak. What was it? You see, some of you young folks don't even know what this is. It's a meat tenderizer. It's a mallet with a bunch of bumps in it, and you anticipating how awful it's going to be. You just beat the tar out of this steak. And it tastes so awful. She used to put this lemon juice on top of it to try to fix it. I mean, it didn't fix it. I mean, it didn't fix it. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? Not just to be funny, to tell you. There's things in our past, and we start to judge, you know what, a supernatural God and his limitless provision to the limited provision that we lived under in our life. And God says, stop doing that. Start believing for a God that is, he says to the apostles, hey guys, I don't understand why you don't get this. You're like, oh, we only have one loaf of bread. Oh my goodness. What have I just done? You think I can't take care of you because we have one loaf of bread? You're trying to figure out how small a little piece you're going to get? I'm God. I'm Jesus. I'm with you. I'll provide for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to accept Jesus, it only takes a moment, but it'll be the best thing you ever did in all your life. Just raise up your hand. I'm going to say a short prayer with you. Yes, I see that hand in the back. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Who else? Who else? Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand in the back. You can put your hand down. We're going to pray in a minute. Can you pray this with me? Just simple prayer. Let's just ask Jesus in our heart. Jesus, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Now listen, Pastor Paul's coming up here. We have a Bible for you. We want to get you started in the right path. We have some information for you. We're not going to ask for any information from you. We just want to give you something. Now, one more thing before we dismiss. If somebody would raise your hand with no eyes closed and people looking around, I don't know, don't care. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I have believed in God that he can't do some things. And it's wrong and I'm stopping. You spoke to me today. And not only you spoke to me today, but God spoke to me today. Say this with me. God, I'm sorry. I did wrong. I was like Moses. I was like the apostles. I don't want to be like that. I put my trust in you. I'm going to start asking you for things, and there will be, here, say it like this. I will start to ask you based on what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, not based on my figuring out what you can do and what you can't do. For you have already told me, with you, all things are possible. I do not want to be covetous, to be greedy, to be selfish, but I will not limit the unlimitedness of what you want to do in using me. In Jesus' name. Have me receive that. Okay. George is going to say something to us.
Yeah, just real quick. You know what? The Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and he's telling me, you know what? Faith in God takes the garbage out and makes room for his promises in your life. All the tradition of men, all that clutter that just gums it up, like Pastor says, it clears it all out, and it gives us, or it makes room for the promises of God. And just like Abraham, when God told him, you know, to pack up and leave, and he didn't even know where he was going, but he did it by faith. You know what? Faith gives God permission to do big things in our lives. Amen.
Thank you, George. There's a part that we play in asking God that opens up. The Bible says, pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There, your positioning on earth, where you're starting to say, no, I'm going to believe for this supernaturally. When, before the tower was here, which is a revenue source for us, God spoke to me and said, I want you to start believing for income that is not from the church, but is outside of the church. Why are you asking me? Because you're on this earth. Get in the Academy of Righteousness. I'll teach that to you. Okay. Anyway.